The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for a representative nearest you.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's June the 27th, 2007. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And a bit later in the program, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, Europe says, fine, we'll cut our own deals with China and India since we can't seem to come to an agreement on the ag portion of the WTO negotiations. And a dairy economist is predicting milk prices could top $4 a gallon in Chicago this fall and be above $5 in Florida. He blames ethanol. Dave Dickey will have more a bit later. And then we'll talk with Drew Lerner after the bottom of the hour. He's with World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Remember, it all happens right here on this Wednesday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Taking a look at the numbers now as they settled on this Wednesday afternoon in Chicago. Futures in the wheat pit at 6.06 for the nearby July were down 2.5 cents. September's were down 4.5 at 6.21.5, and December wheat at 6.28.5 down 5.5 cents. In the corn pit, July futures lost 12.75 to settle at 3.43.75. September's at 3.53.75 were down 13.25, and the December contract at $3.62 were down 13 cents for the day. July soybean futures down 3.5 at 8.03.5. The August at 8.11.75, down 3.5. And November beans at 8.37.5, down 4.5 for the day. July bean meal futures at 2.17.90 are down 2.20. July bean oil down 2 at 34.96. And the feeder cattle finished at 108.57.5 over at the Mercantile Exchange. They gained 92.5 cents. June live cattle at 85.30 were down 25 cents. And the August futures were up 62.5 cents at 89.25. July lean hogs at 72.32.5 were down 35 cents for the day. The outside markets, crude oil trading the August contract at $68.95. They're currently $1.17 higher, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average now at 13,371 is up just about 34 points for the afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the drop in the corn pit, please.
Well, we understand there was over 9 or 10,000 sellers in corn today, and with almost an ideal weather forecast from the opening bell and the basic conversation in the marketplace of increased corn acres, the market basically eroded. Some of the dry weather men have basically parked their dry weather forecast at the end of the cornfield. We haven't heard anything about that for a day or two. The other factor that's in the marketplace is that the corn market is basically looking at possibly some reduced acreage in the Dakotas because of planting problems. But the crop, as a general rule, just for example, the weeklies show a pretty optimistic corn crop. The open interest has dropped substantially in the corn market, and so we saw price erosion going into the today's close.
Now, you often say the trend is your friend, and so you can use that trend when in either direction. Do you have comment about what producers should be doing in a downtrending marketplace?
Well, as I mentioned to you very eloquently a few weeks ago, that 4 and 8 were good price targets on old crop corn and soybeans. And we hit it once, maybe twice or three times, but, you know, I tried to pass that on, that when the weather market gives you that chance, that it's time to move the boat. And I did emphasize that. As far as this market here is in this downtrend, I definitely don't want to be a buyer of corn unless we do get some weather forecast or weather forecasters that would come on board to say something is changing major. Where you would put your buy stop on all short December corn positions would be somewhere in that 380 level, and that would be a trend reversal type location. I think the one thing that we can speculate about is what if the government comes in with a 90 million acre number, and or maybe something unchanged from their March planting and report. I don't really think the corn market needs to go much lower right this minute, Todd. So I think, that's the big focus in the corn area.
Yeah, I was wondering if we'll be down here at a level at this point where we might bounce or at least consolidate the rest of the week as we go into that Friday morning quarterly grain stocks and acreage report.
The other factor that we're talking about, too, is that if the economy stays pretty steady, mm-hmm. and the government, meaning Congress and the president, continue to push the green revolution, so to speak, we are going to see the continued demand from corn. And that means that we do have to have more acres down the road to supply this new revolution. So that's a supportive factor, a year from now as well as about a year and a half.
If you take a look at the day trade, and we've got an awfully hard down day in the corn pit, wheat futures are off between 2 and 6.5 cents. Beans were only down 3 to 4 cents for the day. Is that just on the idea that they still need to put more beans into the ground in South America?
Well, I think that also there is this feeling that if there's more corn, where's the beans? And that is a factor, and of course the acreage growth not only in the world and the U.S. is also needed for next year. And the demand, particularly from those industrial growing economies in the Pacific Rim, continue just to absorb a tremendous amount of protein and particularly veggie oil. And those are important ingredients to a $8 soybean, and possibly higher if we hear the word rust or dry weather in the U.S. belt.
What are you hearing from out west and their harvest season for the hard red winter wheat at this point?
Well, the private weather people have been very generous on forecasting rain, and it has occurred. And the protein level is a problem. We are hearing yield problems, and it wouldn't surprise me if there is a reduction in the wheat crop. There are major problems possibly with high-quality milling wheat that's the wheat miller's dream. And also then you go into the spring wheat area of the upper Dakotas and also into Canada, where the weather forecaster is a little, is stingy with rainfall in those two areas. So you not only do you have a too wet, too dry problem with the wheat belt, and then at the same time we hear it's too dry in China. So those are major market factors, and then we add the ingredient that some of the world's largest importers are caught on the wrong side of the market, like Egypt, India, and Iraq, and this is one of the reasons why we have a $6 bill on the board at Chicago. Now, some people are saying Kansas City wheat should gain on Chicago and things like that, but it's a major market factor in the wheat. And when people are, the importers are caught, it's a big problem. And then don't forget, Tom Hieronymus' old rule was if you have one bushel left over that's not exported or milled, it turns into a feed grain, and there's not much feed grain wheat around, and that should improve corn usage.
Tom Hieronymus, of course, ag economist here at the University of Illinois, retired.
A legend in the agricultural economic area.
You bet. So on that legend and maybe on your legend as well here, I want to talk more about this wheat just a bit, because is it possible to hold, for instance, a December 6, 28.5 wheat price and a Dease corn at 362?
A lot of people beat that horse over the back and say, you know, it just can't be and this and that. And I want to go back, you know, the rule is you buy the bullish and you sell the bearish one. And they're two different worlds. And my opinion is there must be some people caught on that market. And one of the things that I find intriguing is that I've found that you just have to treat each individual market as a unique situation and not get too broad-based. And you know, that will this encourage more wheat being planted and less corn or things like that? That's just too far down the road. And right now we have a very, very tight situation in which it's hard to find good quality milling wheat for the export market and also for mills.
We sure appreciate you being with us for
today. Have a profitable day, Todd.
Hey, you too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Wednesday afternoon. Here's one that I think we'll start adding in on a regular basis on Wednesday, though this report's out on Tuesday from the Illinois Department of Ag. I haven't checked to see whether it comes out before the Closing Mark Report on that day or not. I don't believe so. It's the Illinois Ethanol Plant Report from Market News at IDOA. Here are the bids as of yesterday from the ethanol plants. They range from $3.36 to $3.63 for number two yellow corn. Across the state, that was down 64 cents to down 60 cents from the previous week. Remember, this is a weekly report. They were either 22 under the July or 5 over the July. So those are some numbers we'll try to include in your Closing Mark Report because, well, I think they're relatively important to you over time, or at least of interest. And we'll do that each and every Wednesday right here on the radio station.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
At the bottom of the hour, meteorologist Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City will join us for a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Our own Mike Sola says across the two-state region tonight, skies will be mostly cloudy, a few showers and some thunderstorms. Lows will range from 60 in northwestern Illinois to around 70 in southern Indiana. Tomorrow in northern Illinois, cloudy, a few lingering showers early, then becoming partly sunny to mostly sunny. Elsewhere, cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms. Highs will range tomorrow from 72 near Lake Michigan to 85 in the far south. Minimum relative humidity levels will range between 50% and 70%. Tomorrow, wind speeds sustained at 5 to 15 miles an hour. Again, storms will produce some stronger gusts. Rainfall amounts tomorrow heaviest in central and southern sections with a half inch to three quarters of an inch expected. The extended forecast for Illinois and Indiana fields will begin to dry out again over the weekend with much drier air of Canadian origin across the area in the early part of next week. Dave is here now. He'll take a complete look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Mark for WILL AM 580. Urbana.
In agricultural news, the European Union is looking to negotiate bilateral trade deals with China and India after the G4 collapsed last week. EU officials say China and India are ideal destinations for European Union processed foods. EU officials say they are growing increasingly nervous with a number of bilateral trade deals being made. They want the U.S. to get too far ahead in the competition for world food markets. A dairy economist with Downs O'Neill, one of the nation's largest dairy product brokerage firms, says milk prices in Chicago could rise to as much as $4.50 a gallon by September and top $5 a gallon in Florida. Bill Brooks is blaming ethanol for milk price spikes. Brooks, speaking before a Chicago conference, says ethanol is a new competitor, one the government is subsidizing. Senate Agriculture Chairman Tom Harkin says that he wants to overhaul the commodity title of the Farm Bill by adopting a revenue-based countercyclical program and cutting direct payments. Harkin says commodity programs need to be reexamined and not simply renewed, as proposed by a House Agriculture Subcommittee last week.
I'm talking about modest proposals that will begin to move us in a different direction, and putting certain emphasis in certain places. This is not a wrong kind of bill, okay? we're not going to do anything like that. I mean, there's still going to be a commodity program. There's going to be support for commodities in there. But, again, we're looking at making some changes, like updating bases, for example. And then, of course, payment limits, obviously, of course. I think those are rather modest proposals, but they will enable us then to get some money and begin to redirect it to other places.
Harkin says his countercyclical program would heavily rely on producers having crop insurance. Harkin still does not have a date set for when his committee will write up the Farm Bill for floor debate. On other issues, Harkin says it's likely extension of presidential fast-track trade authority is dead.
I got to tell you that trade promotion authority will not be considered this year. Whether it's considered next year or not, I don't know. I rather doubt it. I think that probably you're looking until after the next presidential election for that to gel and come back. So that does not bode very well for the Doha round, getting put back together again.
Harkin says of the four nations still eligible for TPA, only a deal with South Korea has a chance in Congress. The U.S. Energy Department says it will invest up to $375 million in bioenergy research centers in Tennessee, Wisconsin, and California to research cellulosic ethanol. DOE says the centers are expected to begin work in 2008. Meanwhile, U.S. ethanol production dropped 1.7% in April, while easing demand pushed inventories up by 3%. The Energy Information Administration says ethanol production in April was 11.7 million barrels, down from 11.9 million in March. Ethanol imports increased by 8% in April, the majority coming from Brazil. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website at WILLAG.org. Up next, volatility in the corn and the soybean markets has farmers concerned about when to make new and old crop sales. We'll hear about seasonal trends from U of I Extension Ag economist Daryl Good. The price of corn and soybeans generally follows seasonal trends, says University of Illinois Extension Ag economist Daryl Good. The yearly highs are usually put in during the months of June and July.
That's when we put in both on the old crop, when the cash market puts in a high for the year, and oftentimes when the new crop futures also put in a high. And it's primarily because we build in concerns about the crop and weather, and so prices move up.
Up, but typically not up for very long. As the season progresses and it becomes apparent the crop in the ground will be adequate to fulfill the bins, again, price drops. That, Daryl Good says, usually happens in mid to late July or early in the month of August.
Typically, the market reacts much as you describe, that if we avoid a significant problem with the crop and the market then anticipates a normal to big harvest, prices typically move sharply lower beginning the last half of July through August. And if you look at a 30-year average, that decline is really very steep. It's only in years that, say, we do have a summer weather problem in July and August, then you get kind of a counter-seasonal move and see prices move higher into harvest time. That happens rarely, so when you look at an average, We have more good crop years than we do poor crop years, so on average, prices do move sharply lower in the late summer months into harvest.
Good says farmers should know and use this summer seasonal pattern and wrap up old crop corn and soybean marketings in June. That's because he says the trade has a habit of really punishing those who carry inventory into July and August. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
On this Wednesday afternoon, we're joined to take a look at the cash grain market by Kay Whitlock of Terre Haute Grain in Terre Haute, Indiana. Hi, Kay.
And good afternoon to you, Todd.
Well, at the end of that last piece, I said that trade had a habit of really punishing folks who held their old crop right into July and August, and it looks like they may have gotten a good start on it already. I recorded that, of course, last week with Daryl Good, so we were a little bit behind by the time we got to that today, but those numbers sure didn't look very good in Chicago for the corn today.
Pretty scary, really. I was a little surprised, but, you know, 354 was support, and it just triggered a landslide, I'm sure, of computer selling, and surely we'll get a bounce in here sometime, but, you know, around here, I'm just not really sure how much corn there is out there. The basis continues to improve. Train values have probably improved a nickel since you and I talked last week. So, you know, I just don't know if there's a great abundance of corn out there or not. Only time will tell. Beans, on the other hand, that's the scary one because, you know, we've got a 20-cent carry out to new crop. So there's just a world of beans still out there. Basis levels keep getting weaker. And these guys are going to be faced with the reality that this bean basis is going to absolutely crash and burn around them. So, you know, hanging on to these old crop beans, I'm not sure if it's wise or not.
Well, that's a pretty harsh sentence there that should suggest they ought to sell, but usually they like to run the Vegas run, I think, with their beans, especially the old crop. They don't try to clean them out till the very last moment, do they?
They really, it looks like this year this is what they're going to do. They're just going to carry them and carry them. And those who have the space, you know, they may want to carry them into next year because, you know, there's just a lot of analysts saying that, you know, with a needed 4 to 5 million acres, you know, next year in the Western Hemisphere that we may have to see $9 or $10 beans. So if they've got the space, they'll either carry them at home or they'll take them to the elevator and carry them on paper. But logistically, it could be hard to handle old and new crop, and basis levels could get to unprecedented levels because we have already seen a nickel drop out of train values for new crop just since we talked last week.
What's your best suggestion for producers on the flip side? Let's talk more about the corn. What should they do at this point? Nothing and hope that there's another rally? And maybe we'll talk about old and new crop corn both.
Well, here again, you know, it's going to be really, really tough to get back up to where we were. I mean, the drought in this area is gone. I mean, it's pretty much taken care of. There's a lot of rain out there now. We're going to have more coming in here the next couple of days. If they need to take advantage of these rallies for old crop, new crop, same thing. You need to just take advantage of these rallies if and when they happen.
And then your bids for the day?
All right. Cash corn is 349, cash beans 766, and wheat today is 536.
And we appreciate you being with us.
Thank you, Todd.
Kay Whitlock is with Terre Haute Grain out of Terre Haute, Indiana, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Each and every Wednesday afternoon in just about 2 minutes, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with Drew Lerner from World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Up next, your regional newscast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. The two men involved in a hostage incident in Arcola last week face a long list of charges. Yusef Brown and William Thompson were arraigned this morning in a small courtroom inside the Douglas County Jail. The procedure was moved there from the county courthouse. The two were accused of shooting Douglas County Chief Sheriff's Deputy Tommy Martin, who remains in critical condition today. That shooting took place in the midst of a police chase that preceded the hostage situation inside Arcola's first Mid-Illinois Bank branch. They're due back before a judge July 13th. Indiana's State Health Commissioner Judy Monroe is sending letters to the state's doctors and dentists urging them to advise patients to quit smoking. Similar letters have been sent to the state's nurses. 24% of adult Hoosiers smoke. That's the fifth highest rate in the nation. Health departments across Illinois are trying to get more people to know their HIV status through testing. The head of HIV prevention in a 22-county area says anyone between the ages of 13 and 64 who's sexually active should consider a test. He says many people are worried about learning the results if they think they've been involved in activity known to transmit the virus, but he says those who get tested are more likely to lead a healthy lifestyle. Champaign City Council members have given their preliminary okay to draft a design plan for what could be a major retail location in the future. Neighbors of the future Curtis Road interchange on I-57 say they want to make sure the plan doesn't make the same mistake seen in the city's North Prospect shopping area. Consultants hired to draw up the plan say they want to avoid sprawl and congestion and keep open space. After 3.5 months of testimony, the fraud and racketeering trial of one-time media baron Conrad Black has gone to a federal jury in Chicago. Black and his three co-defendants are accused of stealing millions of dollars from Hollinger International that should have gone to the newspaper company's shareholders. All have pleaded not guilty. Hollinger is now called Sun-Times Media Group. It owns the Chicago Sun-Times and about 100 community newspapers. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner. He's the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
A lot of rain here, especially yesterday. There were a couple of really heavy downpours. How widespread might that have been across the two-state region of Illinois and Indiana?
Well, actually, the rain that occurred yesterday was quite variable. A lot of rain was reported across the region, but I think the amounts of heavier rainfall were somewhat restricted. But it was a lot more than expected, and I think it was very indicative of the fact that this atmosphere is full of moisture right now, and we do have a cool front that's moving into the region from the northwest, and as it pushes through the area, it'll bring some cooler and drier air in on top of all this warm and moist conditions we have out there. And the end result will be some additional rain and thunderstorm activity, some of which may be quite intense as we go through the next 48 hours. Now, right now, the area that's most favored for the heaviest rainfall is actually central Illinois once again, central and southern Illinois perhaps, and even parts of southern Indiana. The further north you are in the Midwest, the lower the probability is that you're going to see a healthy amount of rain. And the main reason for that is just the timing of this frontal system is going to be such that the cooler and drier air will already be in place in many of the northern locations before we reach the peak of afternoon heating that usually sets off these thunderstorms. So that pushes the focus of attention on the lower parts of the region. If we drew a line from Quincy, Illinois to Findlay, Ohio, I think most areas south of that line will be vulnerable to some halfway decent rainfall over the next 48 hours, with areas, again, in the southern half of Illinois, southern Indiana, probably most favored for the most intensive thunderstorm activity.
That's good news for those farmers in those areas, especially in the eastern part of the Corn Belt, Indiana and Ohio. In the eastern and the northern sections of those areas, they've been dry as well. Will they get relief?
Not enough. There will be some shower and thunderstorm activity that occurs in Michigan and parts of northern Ohio as well as northeastern Indiana, but I certainly don't expect the rains to be great enough to fix the long-term bias of dryness that's with us, and that actually may be around for a while. I don't think we're going to get quite enough rainfall to fix that situation in any big way anytime real soon.
What do you see for harvest progress for the soft and the hard red winter wheat crops?
Soft wheat harvesting will be okay. I don't think there's going to be any major issues there. I think we're going to see some rainfall, but it's not going to be frequent or significant enough to have a major impact on the quality of the crop or progress. But for hard red wheat country, of course, we have some real serious issues going on out there. Portions of the region from Kansas southward into central Texas just getting pounded day after day after day with rain. The situation is going to continue for another couple of days. Eventually, the precipitation will become more localized to southern Oklahoma and central and northern parts of Texas, where it will continue to rain off and on into the weekend. But the areas up in Kansas and points further north will see a better environment for net drying. In the long-haul picture here, I think most of hardwood wheat country will still keep a little bit of a wetter bias in the month of July. But the intensive rains that we've seen here recently should be a thing of the past, but it's still not going to help us a lot. We have to have absolute dryness and low humidity out there to really help get this crop out of the field, and we may not have that, at least not in the next 10 days.
Drew, we appreciate you being with us.
Thanks a lot, and have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is the Senior Agricultural Meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, and that is today's closing market report. Remember to join us tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first look at the markets, and that you can always pick things up off our website at willag.org. Have a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson's team of experts and strategic consulting approach utilize the latest technology. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.